Hey game friends, GM John here. After the Bomb, Pursuit of Knowledge is a crazy, furry, post-apocalyptic, sapient animal role-playing game, and the podcast may contain some themes or content that may be unsuitable for some listeners, so listener discretion is definitely advised. Specific content warnings for all Real Play Games podcast episodes will be listed in each episode's description. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Real Play Games Podcast, a podcast where I, your Game Master John, run my friends through a bunch of tabletop role-playing games, some of them very popular and some of them extremely obscure. This is going to be the 10th and final episode of our first season of After the Bomb, Pursuit of Knowledge. After the Bomb is a sapient animal post-apocalyptic role-playing game from Palladium Books. If you're interested in finding out more about the After the Bomb RPG or any of Palladium's Megaverse role-playing games, feel free to find them at www.palladiumbooks.com. With me, as always, I have my wonderful friends here on the eve of their one true victory. Let's go ahead and start out with the victorious Bly Moons. Rue, how are you doing on the eve of your adventure?
I'm doing great. I'm Rue, and I play Bly Moons, a cat boy who is invincible.
Out of 1,000 lives.
And Arlo here is the honey badger that bended his scruples to fulfill a contract, but
yeah, the only person to voice any objection whatsoever to offering up the bodies of sapient beings to these monster bees.
They were just dog boys.
Wow, that's speciesism.
Oh, would the dog boys have been happy to have Liblet around?
They'd have eaten her, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Ems. I play Bara Nosy, who seems to spend more of her time hurling her axe than she did how it was intended.
But did it work?
Yes.
Extremely well.
Generally.
I'm Harm. I play Liblet Thumblejump, a Frackrat Chimera, an honorary member of the Familia. At least for tonight.
And to go ahead and recap everything that happened in the last episode, GM John is going to go ahead and take over the role on that for this final episode, just because some of the people I've had in the past couple ones been pretty unreliable. While they were in the process of fighting a bunch of 2XD power armored soldiers from the Empire of Humanity, alongside members of the Rodent Cartel and their friend Piero, the martial artist opossum from Gatorland, the Fursome Foursome managed to not only successfully run down every single member of the Empire of Humanity and slay them, but also destroyed one of their attack helicopters with an incredibly well-aimed shot of a grenade that couldn't possibly have been hurled any further unless a demigod stepped onto the scene and did it for them.
Saint Bara.
And with that, we focus now on the smoldering portions of Lancaster, where we find a celebration midway with said members of the Rodent Cartel and the Fursome Foursome as they party by the wagons inside the little sanctuary area that had been made for the caravan the Rodent Cartel was bringing with them. Liblet, Polly T has had you cornered for the last hour or so. He is actually in his personal cart and digging through a bunch of stuff to show you and talk about. One of them in particular is something that you are quite familiar with, although you hadn't been even a few days ago. It is a tinned can of spicy cucarachas.
Oh my gosh, I love these things. Liblet points to the can. I had it just for the first time the other day. It was great.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Look, I know a couple of the guys that end up working, and they work, and he makes quotation marks with his little rat fingers. In the cannery, I can get you a pallet of this stuff. I just got to be able to figure out where I can get it dropped off for you. But like, It's the least I can do. You've changed my life. I gotta say, Liblet Thumblejump, you're a person I ain't ever gonna forget.
Aw, she thinks that's very sweet. And she's like, I don't know how much a pallet is, but it sounds like a lot. And I would really like that. But I don't think I have an address that you could take it to. We kind of move around a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you ever end up by Philly, like, first of all, if they ever give you any kind of trouble trying to get into Philly, you give them my name and you tell them that if there's a problem, the entirety of House Transportatoria is going to come down on their hiners.
I don't think they'd believe me, though. Everyone thinks frack rats are liars.
He reaches down on his left ring finger and pulls off a silver ring with an insignia of five hands in, like, put together in a circle. And he hands it over to you and drops it in the palm of your hand. And he says, I'll get myself another one once I get back.
She looks at him with very big eyes. You mean it's for me?
Yeah, it's for you. I mean, I'd be real honored if you wore my ring anyway. But, you know, that way, if you ever hit any of the checkpoints or you're coming up to 76 or something trying to get into Philly, you just flash that to him and be like, hey, I'm under the protection of House Transportatore. And if you mess with me again, you ain't going to get wheels nowhere ever again.
Liblet tastes the ring.
It tastes like warm metal.
And then, since she knows that he had it on his left hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was he wearing it on any finger in particular? Because she's going to wear it exactly the way he did, because she figures that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, Liblet, how many fingers do you have?
Well, she has webbed fingers.
Yeah, so it kind of only goes halfway down on whatever finger you put it on at best. It's more like a tip of the finger ring for you.
Maybe I can get a string for it or something. That way I don't lose it, because it looks really expensive.
He looks around in the back of the cart and finally fishes out a small piece of wire. He's like, I mean, you can just kind of bend this around your neck.
Okay.
And he realizes it's not big enough after he starts trying to. So he looks and finally gets a bigger piece and wraps it all the way around your barrel-like neck.
Pats the ring proudly. She's like, it's so pretty.
He's like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of the family, so please don't lose it or, like, give it to nobody. It'd be real hard if you did that, but, like, I trust that you'll keep it safe.
Liblet reminds herself to never give it away, like she gave away her t-shirt, which was her previous most prized possession. She goes, thank you. I don't know if I can convince any of the caravans to go up that way, because it's not been really great in the past, but maybe someday.
Yeah, well, you know, the invitation's open. I'm going to end up chilling out there most of the time. I'm probably going to do a couple of runs, but I'm going to have, like, cars and stuff next time, so I'll be able to not get stuck in a place. But, I mean, if I wasn't stuck here, I wouldn't have ended up getting to meet you. So everything kind of worked out in the end. And you hear from behind him, sitting with a couple of bandages on him from where he got patched up. Mr. X goes,
hoo-hoo. Aw. She goes over to pat Mr. X. She's like, I'm really glad I got to meet you guys. And I don't know if we would have been able to make it if we hadn't run into you.
Paulie, for his part, says, you know, I'm pretty sure if he could tell you himself, Mr. X would say the same thing, because I certainly know I feel that way. Mr. X goes,
Yeah, I think Liblet's going to go, could you tell me about your home?
Yeah, why don't we go have a talk about that? And the two of you go and start talking about Philly. So it's Liblet and...
Polly T.
Yeah, thank you, Polly T. Head off to have a little conversation about Philly. We head over to Bly Moons. Bly, I figure you're a fan of alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can see a bunch of the members of the rodent cartel clustering around another one of the caravan wagons. And when you move over towards it, you see one of them has what looks like a big clear bottle of something. You figure that based on what they look like, they're a chipmunk. They turn to you and they go, oh, hey there. You want to have some of this?
Everclear.
Pour it out.
Like, oh, Rick, we call it vodka. Be okay.
I just want to drink.
Yeah, they get a red cup made out of a strange material that you've never seen before and pour a large amount of this vodka into the cup for you. It is completely clear and has virtually no smell when you bring it up to, like, inspect it a little bit.
Water?
Yeah, you can call it water. Fire water, maybe.
I'll take a drink.
you slam it and it burns real bad. This is not like any water you've ever had before. And you know immediately, this is some good stuff. And the little chipmunk comes and turns back. And he's like,
so like, you ever been to Philly before? I know they might have a bit of a problem because you're feline and all, but you seem like a fun type.
I've never been to Philly. Never really been anywhere. Do you have catnip?
She looks to the others and they all kind of start laughing.
No, we only have catnip. That's like, you know, kind of taboo from where we're at, but we got some cocaine.
Oh, I just want catnip.
I want you, what's your IQ again?
Also, I guess I could ask you that. Like, catnip, I have an IQ of 12.
Okay, I want you to make a percentile dice check. Try and get under 12.
Oh.
94.
You have the worst nagging suspicion that you have a bag of catnip somewhere in your belongings, and just for the life of you cannot remember where it is.
We were just talking about how Liblet had gathered up some catnip after he'd passed out before, and I couldn't remember if she gave it to him or not.
She did not. She just gathered it up kindly for him.
Now he's floating. And he's like, I need catnip. And he goes back to the truck and he starts just like digging around and everything, trying to find catnip.
So Bly ends up spending a good portion of time before he manages to send out the catnip. But once you find it, you notice Liblet managed to save most of what had ended up getting wasted before. You're going to have enough catnip to get you through the rest of this little soiree.
Yay! He's such a
good friend / enabler.
Yeah, and it's some of the stuff that you got from Shaky Eddie, so it's that killer stuff.
And he just climbs onto the top of the truck and just...
rubs it on his gums.
Yeah, rubs it on his gums. He puts it on his wrist, and he's just like rubbing his wrist on his face and rolling around on the car.
Yeah, we'll cut back to Bly in a little bit after he comes down. Bara. What would you be doing at this little soiree?
She's going to be going over everything she collected. She would have picked up any bits that were left from that thing Liblet blew up with the arrow, the drone. She would have inspected the copter for anything. And she's kind of going through it all and partially casting mournful looks at her truck and then going back to the business at hand.
And do you want to give me an automotive mechanic check?
14 out of a 65.
You know. It is possible for you to fix your truck.
That is what she is doing.
The other thing that you know is it's going to, first of all, you've been up for quite a while. It's fairly tiresome, especially because you're basically going to have to prop it up on like rocks to get underneath of it. You know that you can cannibalize the other truck that the other team had brought to get yours working well again. But it's going to take you 6 days.
She's going to do it.
You also know you'll probably want to contact the underground at some point in the near future to update them on the situation, considering how much things have changed.
Is the radio in the truck still working?
The truck, ironically, when you turn the key, it doesn't turn the engine over, but the electricity still works. Currently, the radio is still functional. While we're at it, Arlo. Since you like radios a whole lot, what are you dithering around with during the whole party? Are you going to have a couple of frosty beverages, well, lukewarm beverages?
Yeah, probably. I probably want to hear stories, whatever, find out about things a bit. Looking to be more restful than curious. Well, just curious about the stories, maybe, but not about fixing anything.
You got to love that the two most introverted people in real life are the ones who are partying. The two people who wouldn't go to a party if given a chance are the ones attending the party in game. Yeah. I wouldn't go to this in real life. I'd be like, you know what? It's fine. I'm just going to go nap.
When you, Arlo, are specifically interacting with the members of the Rodent Cartel, they don't seem as wary of you as they seem of Bly. One, because Bly's a cat. They're not quite as worried about badgers as they are about cats. And two, you handle your liquor so much better than Bly Moons does. Yeah. You, being the honey badger that you are and having your excellent, excellent stamina, go shot for shot with every single member of the rodent cartel and put them all under the table, only whilst feeling the mildest of buzzes at the end of the scenario.
How is he so cool?
My claws are tingling. I think it's affecting me.
So you managed to put most of the rodent cartel to bed, other than the people that are having to stay up to act as lookouts, just to make sure none of the Empire folks come back. You all finally managed to get to sleep around, goodness, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and wake up sometime in the afternoon, probably around like 6:30.
Liv waits for Bara to wake up so she can show her her new necklace.
Well, who wakes up first?
I mean, he like Bly does. So he starts freaking out. He gets the zoomies. And
yeah, I would think like Liblet and Bly would be the first two to wake.
Well, let's go with Bly, because Bly's got the best sensory suite out of everybody anyway. Bly, go ahead. When you wake up, roll me a percentile die.
24.
There was maybe like a 5-second period, even during the battle that took place last night / morning, where you had fallen asleep. So being a cat, you can fall asleep anywhere and wake up at virtually any time you want to. As you wake up from your slumber and feel remarkably refreshed despite your consumption the previous evening, you notice Piero walking out of a cluster of underbrush, and his tail is dripping blood.
Huh.
And he comes walking back towards the camp. It looks like he's trying to be surreptitious about it, but you manage to kind of catch him in the act.
I'm just like staring at him. I'm crouched down on the top of the truck and just staring, just like.
So cute when you picture it as a cat, but so creepy when you picture it as the cat man he is. The muscular cat man he is.
He turns and his gaze kind of locks onto yours as you're sitting on top of the truck, and he motions you towards him.
I will jump down, but I'll do it in a way that like jiggles the truck the most, you know, the van the most. Because there's like a way you can do it silently, but he just does it to make the most noise possible.
Okay. As you scamper off and head over towards him, the others start rising because of your activities. When you get up next to him, Bly, he says, "Well, Mr. Kitty Cat,
you're bleeding."
"Oh, don't worry about that. That ain't my blood. Remember that one I ended up catching alive?"
"Oh.
Yeah, well, part of the reason I ended up dipping halfway during the fight was I recognized I had to secure him better, so I ended up staking him to the ground. I just got done with my interrogation of him. I gave myself like an hour or two to go to sleep, but after that, I went back for him. I think I might got a lead on where my beautiful woman is. Mr. Kitty Cat, I can see that you're capable of handling yourself very well, and, well, I was thinking of asking anyway. Maybe you want to come with me?"
To the Empire?
"Nah, we ain't headed to the Empire. We're going to end up cutting through Philly first, then we're going to head to the contested territories. I heard they got a secret base in there operated by dog boys and New Kennel."
"Killing dog boys."
"Yeah, whole lot of them too. They got people up there working as slaves, manufacturing."
"Slaves?"
Yeah, they work them until they drop, and then they end up putting a bullet in their heads and discarding them."
"Oh, he thinks about it. Yeah, that sounds, I can do that."
He gives you a nod and he says, "I'll make it worth your while, I promise. I got some contacts left and they'll be able to get you some compensation for your troubles. Also, you know, considering I know you got some things to do, I'm willing to kind of stay my hand for a little bit before we get going. That way you can get taken care of whatever you need taken care of."
"I just need plenty of ammo and stuff to blow up."
"Well, fantastique, mon frère. We're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned time finding my woman."
That is going to be such a violent, violent adventure that you guys go on. You're going to carve a swath of blood through that landscape. It's just going to be fire.
Yes, it will be fire in the literal and metaphorical senses of the term. Bara, you are the next to wake up. You are the first out of the rest of the group to wake up. Everybody is kind of groggily coming too. What are your plans for the day?
She's just going to get right to work, start fixing, because the longer it takes her, the longer she's stuck here. when the others wake, she plans to tell them that, well, no, she'll go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and radio the college.
Okay, now I have an important question for you. Because you have the codes for both, are you going to radio Julia Dalmatian, or are you going to radio Sondre Barnard?
Her loyalty is still to Cambridge, so Dalmatian.
Okay, it takes you a little while to get an active connection to the Cambridge location. And once you do, the technician takes the call and makes sure that Julia is heading towards it. When she finally picks up on the receiver, she says, "Oh, whoa there, Paula. This is Julia. How are you doing, Ova?"
We've had a heck of a time, Julia, but we're all still in one piece. And, well, mostly. The truck's going to need some repair before we'll be able to head back, but we picked up Andre and Lavinia from Lancaster. And
what about Bwetwi and Kwasiewa?
They didn't make it. Over.
Oh, Christ, over.
She goes silent for a couple of moments. If you want to say something, go ahead.
Yeah, Barrio's going to go ahead and just let her know about the Empire of Humanity.
There's like so much to cover. It's like we got power suits. We fought the Empire of Humanity, made a deal with the wasps, like saved some people.
So Barra's going to tell her that we have an opportunity to recover more knowledge from Lancaster, but it's going to take some work and some time. But we've made a deal with the wasps that are currently here, but she could use some help.
She takes a long time to process everything you tell her about the story that you've had since you've been heading up there. She says, "Holy crap, I can't believe you folks ended up going through all that. Well, Bawa, I gotta tell you, at this point, I don't know how much longer you're gonna be listening to me on anything, because at this point, I got no other choice but to recommend you for a position with the doctorate of the recovery services, which means you'll be leading your own little group and have a more autonomy. I'm pretty certain at this point that Sondre would agree with me. We actually ended up talking with them recently, and although we don't necessarily see eye to eye with the way that they operate their business, it still is their business, and as long as we're working together to try and achieve everything that the academic underground set out to do, well, then we're doing the right thing."
Okay, then I want to set up out here. I want to stay here and get what we can from the university that's still here and go from there.
You hear a muffling sound, like she's putting her hand over the receiver or something. But you hear, "Woohoo, yeah!" And she says, "Oh, crap, okay, yeah. Bawa, to be honest, it was something that we were going to put on the table for you anyway, considering what you've done out there. At this point, I'm going to contact Sondre so we can start putting together a support team to come out there and give you a hand."
Okay. We also need cattle. Send someone agricultural knowledge, please.
Cat? Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, once we get a little more straightened out, we can talk about some of the supplies we can get to you, but for now, just know that you've made us all very, very proud, including your parents. They contacted me recently to find out how you're doing. And of course, most of it will be classified, but I can pass some on to them because they have okay clearance levels.
Thank you. Just let them know I'm doing them proud and always learning.
Bawa, let me tell you something. You're the one that's doing all of us proud. So you stay out there and you keep yourself alive, all right? I already bet you enough friends working in this job. I ain't going to bail you more.
You got it.
All right, we'll end up talking to you soon. We'll end up sending you some good people, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Julia out.
It's so cute. I'm so happy for Vara. Promotion. Although Liblet's still waking up, so she wouldn't even understand half of that. So, but she would be proud in her heart for Vara.
Arlo, it's been quite a while since you contacted the borough, too. You're pretty sure that your whole family would be interested to hear about what happened. You have a lot of stories to tell from the rodent cartel, especially. You drank all of them under the table, so you found out some really juicy hot goss.
Yeah. I think that he's definitely going to continue adventures and send word back to home.
You do manage to get your family on one of the long-range bands that you're used to contacting them on, and it's your father. He sounds very upset, though. He says, "Arlo, boy, is that you?"
"I'm here."
"Oh, Arlo, it's bad out here. Them damn cattle, they're driving all the burrowers out of the free plains."
"Oh.
Arlo, I hate to tell you this, son. Your mother didn't make it."
"Wow.
Oh, my God.
Sad.
Your sisters, they're talking about joining some kind of cockamamie resistance group, but I told them we should start trying to flee to Cardania. I wish he was here, boy. We could really use your help."
"That is news." That's not exactly what I'm saying, but...
Like, bummer.
Wow, Dad, it's supposed to be you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wishes were horses.
Yeah, I definitely can craft an emotional response instantly. But, yeah, this definitely changes things, and he's definitely leaning towards going to help out. I don't know if he'd be wanting to fight or just help them get somewhere safer.
He says, "Well, son, we're in Little Clinkleton. It's about 30 miles east of where we was located in the borough before. And, you know, if you do come out this way, you're going to want to bring some guns because they're all riled up. Something to do about the Prairie Dog Imperium going to war with all the cattle. I don't particularly know the details, but it's real thorny out here."
"All right. I think I could get something. I'll talk to the Rodent Cartel here. They might be able to help us."
"All right, boy. Well, I love you. You be safe no matter what you do. I hope I get to see your face again someday. I'll keep your sisters safe until then, as long as they don't go out and do something foolhardy."
"Yeah. All right, you too, Pa." "Foolhardy." Yeah.
And he gets off the radio. Liblet, it's a little later on in the day. You can see a lot of the Rodent Cartel members are, it looks like they're getting the wagons loaded up. They've got the bodies of the Rodent Cartel members who were killed, except for that one guy who got totally vaporized by the grenades.
I think she'd feel a little sense of longing because, I mean, Caravan's getting ready to leave, or Caravan's getting ready to leave, and she misses the sweet dulcet tones of the baby frack rats as they play around the wagons. And yeah, she's feeling a little homesick for a home that she doesn't even really acknowledge as a home.
Well, Polly T comes and locates you. It's at this point, it'd be nighttime again by the time that they come and get you, because rats don't really care too much about being up at nighttime. Rats will be awake whenever they want to. But he comes to you and he says, "Well, Liblet, I mean, it looks like we got to end up hitting the dusty trail at some point coming up here real soon."
She nods. "I'm going to miss you and Mr. X."
"Well, we're going to both miss you too." And you can see a couple of feet behind him because he's pretty much omnipresent. Mr. X just gives a really slow head nod. He says, "I just want you to know, you always got an invitation if you want to come up to Philly. I know you end up wanting to go back to wherever you're heading in Cardania, and I respect that decision, but the door will always be open for you."
So at this point, does she know that Bara's staying?
Yeah, Bara would have told everyone. If I may, Bara would have also had offered to pay everyone what they had been promised so that they don't have to go back to Cardania, since that's now not exactly in her immediate plans.
Okay. So Liblet's like, "I guess I don't have anywhere to be. Bara's staying here and she gave me the payment. So are you going by Central at all?"
He looks at you. He gives you a little smile. He says, "Liblet Thumblejump, for you, we'll end up taking you wherever you end up needing to go, as long as the authorities don't give us no crap for being rodents."
Well, that's just, she understands that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, we already got diverted a day. They ain't going to be mad if we end up getting diverted a couple more days to take a member of La Familia to where they need to be.
"Well, Rod Rodman said he was going to teach me about the government, and he thought if he got elected, he could maybe help us find a home. So."
He says, "Well, I'll make you a deal, Liblet. I'll make sure you get back to Rod Rodman, and if he can help you, then more power to him. I mean, the blue-armed devil is a creature of many mystical powers and abilities, as far as I understand. So if anybody can help you, it'd be him."
"He can help me find this devil, then that sounds like it'd be really good for frack rats."
He starts laughing like a person who realizes that somebody else doesn't get something and is trying to be polite.
Like a person that for the first time is the smartest person in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, it happened. Like, Polly T had a moment there. He's like, "Yeah, you know what? I guarantee Robin can find you the blue-armed devil. He's very close to him."
Liblet's going to perk up because I think when Liblet woke up that morning, it was with the certainty that her and her three new best friends were going to have a lot more adventures together. And that quickly was an idea that was cut off because Bly is going to fight the dog boys. Arlo's going to go save his family. Bara's sticking around with the scary wasps and where all the bombs drop. So she's been feeling pretty glum. And so I think this really perks her up and she's going to clap her hands and give him a hug and be like, this sounds fun. You're going to love Rod Rodman. He's so nice.
He's like, you know, we're actually going to let Mr. Rodman enjoy his privacy. We don't want to go meet him ourselves. We heard enough about him that we know he's a cool dude and he's going to take care of him. But we'll drop you off right outside to Centrell and you make sure we'll give him a little letter so you can take it to him.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
She's so going to be delivering him like a threat and not even know it. Outside, like, as a person who's actually not Liblet. I am so worried about Rod Rodman now. But yeah, she's totally excited for it. She's like, oh, I bet he'll like to get it. People usually like getting things.
You see, coming up from behind you, Piero walks over towards where you're talking to Polly T. And he says, pardon for me interrupting, but Mr. Polly T, is it? I wanted to ask you if maybe it'd be possible for me and perhaps a companion to sign up as temporary guards for your caravan. That way, we can get to Phil sans molestation.
Oh, Liblet gets really excited because she knows the companion's Bly, and she thought she was going to have to say goodbye to Bly, who's her best friend. And even though Bly doesn't know it. So, yeah, she's going to be like, please, Polly T.
He thinks about it, and especially when you say, please, Polly T, he's like, yeah, all right. I mean, he's a pretty badass anyway. I mean, who's your friend? And he motions over to Bly Moons. Polly T's like, yeah, I mean, the folks is going to give me a little bit of a hassle for bringing a cat, but at the same time, they was partying with him last night, so they're kind of assholes if they do it, if you ask me.
He's going to hug Polly T again and then start like bouncing around because Liblet's super excited. She doesn't have to say goodbye to Bly yet. It's not like they can write letters, so.
Yeah. Are we leaving now or are we leaving later today?
He says, well, I mean, you know, at this point, we're probably going to get going in like an hour or two. So we'll give everybody time to like get their final things done and get everything prepared for themselves.
I will give Bara one of the helmets that has the radio in it. And I'm going to take one. And I'm going to show her what channel to find me on. Yeah, I can't find her, but she can let me know if she needs anything.
Aw.
Awesome.
Aw, do you show her the clicks that you'll be using to respond with?
Yeah.
Liblet, too, is going to say goodbye to Bara. She's going to probably hug Bara's leg and be like, I think one of the best things to happen to me is getting to meet you. I'm going to miss you.
Bara kind of hugs her back very, very gently. Tells her that you did good, Liblet. You did good.
I'm also going to leave her 4 dynamites.
Oh, wow. He really likes you.
Thank you.
And then Liblet's also going to say goodbye to Arlo. Would he have stuck around?
Probably take some time to make arrangements for travel. So, I want to be running off.
Like, I'll make sure Arlo knows how to get hold of me, too, by the radio.
Liblet will give him a hug, too, and be like, Arlo, you're probably the coolest person I've ever met.
Thank you.
And while they're having this, well, I don't want to go ahead and say what you wanted to say first, Arlo. I don't want to ruin your moment.
No, I hadn't formed a moment.
She's like, Liblet, thank you. You were also present.
I was going to say, there is actually a call over the radio during this little heartfelt moment. Bara, you're the one that hears it. When you pick it up, it's Julia Dalmatian again. She says, all right, Baba, here's the deal. We got some transportation coming for you. We got an entire handpicked team of people, and we got guns. Also, Sandwe said something about a motorcycle.
Yes.
Yeah, there's going to be actually a couple of motorcycles on the truck. One of them specifically for you and two for your team to use. I don't know if your mercenaries are sticking around or anything, but we figured you ended up stranded out there, so we're not going to leave you stranded forever.
This is wonderful news.
I feel bad leaving Bara without a running vehicle. That's the thing. I don't want to
She has Lavinia and Andre with her as well.
Isn't one of those a dog person?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Andre was human.
People? Yeah, Andre was human and Lavinia is a crow woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm going to talk to Arlo and ask him exactly how fast he can get where he needs to go. Because if he wants to stick around until my group gets here, I can teach him. Arlo, do you know how to drive?
I don't think I do.
Can you guys imagine anything more dangerous than a frack rat on a motorcycle that goes as fast as that one does?
You can pick up secondary skills over time, and I would be a gracious enough game master and lovely and pure to allow Arlo to learn how to ride motorcycle from Bara.
I can easily believe such a humble game master would make such a decision.
I know. It's shocking.
The more dangerous would be Bly Moons on a motorcycle to go that fast.
Well, I'm not letting you do that.
Morty, I think Arlo is the only one Barra would trust.
You're like, there's gas in this, right?
Has the zoomies on a motorcycle.
Anyway, I could teach you how to drive it, and it'll get you where you need to go probably a lot faster than you can hoof it.
Aw, the grown-ups of the group.
Yeah, that is better.
How long does it take them to get to Philly?
It'll take them a couple of days to get there, especially since they're swinging through Cardania first to drop Liblet off. So it'll probably take like a week.
Liblet is going to let Barra know that if Barra ever needs Liblet, to let one of the frack rats know and she'll come find her.
Well, at this point, over the next couple of hours, as you know, you've all said your goodbyes, the Rodan Cartel caravan starts getting on the road, headed back towards Brick and Clay, which is what they call the area they're heading for, and to get back on the 76.
Will it wave goodbye to Barra and Arlo until they're no longer visible?
The trip is much faster, considering it's a paved road all the way through that's got periodic checkpoints run by the Rodent Cartel, so you folks are going to be much safer than you would have been otherwise on a trip anywhere back towards Cardania.
Every so often, I will check the radio and just, like, click it.
Aww.
Just to, like, make sure they know that I'm safe. You know that we're safe, you know.
Liblet will be asking Polly T more questions about Philly and about how the family works, because right now she figures him or Rod Rodman are her best chances at getting a home for her family.
Well, you are going to get an earful, because he is more than happy to sit and talk with you the whole way back to Cardania for you. You end up getting the secondary skill history, comma, Philly. I'll tell you what the percentage is when it's applicable for the next time that Liblet gets used, if there is a next time, which I certainly hope there is.
I'll miss Liblet.
I'm really sad.
So as they head off into that good night, at this point, the Academic Underground maintains much better communication with you than they did previously. And you are also able a couple of times to catch the signal coming from the radio station back in Paradise, and you hear songs that you've never heard before in your life. They talk periodically about the special AU cut that was dropped that they're revealing periodically. They say there's 397 new songs that they're debuting for the entirety of Cardania and the Free Mutant Lands.
Didn't she like double the amount of music that we get to have now?
Correct. She added 27 solid hours worth of music to the repertoire that was available for the Underground's radio station.
Occasionally, when Barra hears one of the new ones, she'll make sure she's got the helmet near it so she can pipe it through for Bly.
That's so adorable. Oh my gosh. Eventually, you see several vehicles come rumbling up in the distance. They all look a little worse for wear, but two of them are flatbed trucks. And two more are armored personnel carriers, very similar to the trucks that you now have one fix of. And as they start unloading things, Barra, you notice one thing in particular on the back of the truck that stands out. It's your motorcycle.
Barra restrains herself from immediately running over and tearing it off the truck.
Is anybody else hearing like love music? Like, yeah. Like the music when they run on the beach towards each other?
It's like the pinball machine in Nick Cage and Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah.
She greets the people, but all while constantly moving in that direction.
You see a very round armadillo hop out of one of the vehicles with a very stern look on their face. And they come over and find you specifically, Bara, and extend one of their scaly little hands and say, Professore Arturo Montillo, it is so nice to meet you, Dr. Nosy.
That's the first time Bara's heard anyone call her that. She kind of swells with pride for a minute and then shakes his hand and tells him it's a pleasure to meet him as well.
Well, let me inform you fully about the plan that we have from the academic underground at this point, because it's very, very exciting.
He points up to the big broken radio antenna. He says, we are going to remove the old one and fix up a brand new one. We're going to make this a radio station, too. And we're going to have a whole survey team go and sweep on the inside of that university. You hear mooing coming from one of the big transport trucks. And you can see in big slat cages, he's like, and we brought something for the little wingy friends, too.
Perfect.
Arlo, you learn how to ride a motorcycle as the team is getting set up. And it's a little scary at first, but all the same, you have a full tank of gas. And now you know you have the means of getting home.
Yeah. Then I have to say my goodbyes and let Bara know, though. Still keep in touch. And when I'm done with this, if I can get through this trouble, I'd like to continue helping out with the academic underground.
Bara lets him know that he and his family, if they so desire, are welcome here. She doesn't really know what they do, but they're more than welcome to come back if they don't have another place.
I'll take that knowledge with me.
And a bunch of food and ammunition that they make sure you're loaded up with for your journey, because
all right,
yeah, this is a big win for the academic underground and you were part of it.
I went out just kind of looking for experience, and I think definitely made me got some loyalty for the AU here and definitely be looking them up in the future.
All right, and we are going to pull up now as Arlo pulls off on his motorcycle, headed back home to try and save his family and keep his sisters from making some poor decisions. We're going to jump ahead a little bit in time. We find ourselves now hovering over the head of a caravan that's pulling in right up to the entry point of a little tiny gun-making town called Centrell. Polly T, sitting on top of the wagon, he says, now, Liblet, you know, if you want to, we can hang out for a little while. Like, we'll just head up a couple of miles. And, you know, if you decide you want to come back with us immediately, that's fine. But, like, you want to hang out with Rod Rodman for a bit, we understand. Just, yeah, I really hope you take us up on the opportunity to come to Philly at some point.
You'd wait for me if I go talk to him?
Yeah. He hands you a folded up letter. He's like, in fact, could you deliver it for him?
Okay. She takes the letter and goes, where do I meet up with you guys if I can?
He's like, oh, we'll just go like a mile or two down the road up this way. And then, you know, we'll just end up waiting there for a while. And if we ain't seen you for like a day, we'll head back up to Philly way.
Okay. She'll give him and Mr. X a hug just in case she doesn't come back. She's not going to hug Bly because I think Liblet would have a very strong feeling that Bly's not a hugger.
You might cross the line from friend to prey.
Yeah, that seems like a good way. You don't touch a cat's belly, and hugging is kind of touching that area, you know.
Yeah.
She'll tell him what the plan is, say that she's going to go see Rod Rodman and maybe get a t-shirt. She's going to ask if he would like another one.
Oh, he didn't take the first one. He didn't like Rod Rodman. He was freaked out by him.
Yeah, that's right. I think Liblet was the only one enamored by him. And then she's going to head into town with the letter. Go see Rod Rodman.
Okay, Liblet, you head to where you remember Rod Rodman's stand being. And you can see it looks like he's packing it up, apparently, for the day. He's kind of getting everything put away. He's got little locks that he's putting on some of the display cases there.
She's going to wave wildly and like be like, Rod Rodman, it's me, it's Liblet, Liblet Thumblejump.
You see his eye stalks kind of bend around a little bit, and he blinks as he looks at you, and he says,
well, hello there, Liblet. How are you doing? I didn't expect to see you so soon.
we did all the things, and it was a lot. There was a lot of things that happened. She goes bounding up to him. She's going to try and explain what they went through, but it's Liblet. So she's going to be like, there were these giant worms and there were all these bugs. There were people that were bugs and there were bugs from the sky. And normally I like bugs, but these were very scary bugs. And I met some rats and they brought me this. And she holds out the letter and she goes, they thought that I should give this to you.
Wow. Okay, well, that's interesting. What kind of particular rats were they? Do you happen to know their names or anything?
Yeah, Polly T. He gave me this necklace. They saved us from the dragonfly van.
He stops and he looks at the necklace that you're wearing and immediately it straightens up to his full height, which she is claps significant.
She claps because that's pretty amazing for her.
Well, I do appreciate you bringing this to me, Lily. Let me go ahead and see what it says real quickly.
Okay. She hands him the letter and is probably looking at the rods that he has that have not been packed up. Maybe like, I don't know, fishing rod or sun rod.
You see him slit the letter open with the little claw on the end of his finger. And as he flips the letter open, you see that his eyes on top of the little antennae that they're mounted on get wider and wider. And finally, he crumples it up in his hand really quick, like a snap, like so fast that it's almost disturbing. He says,
Liblet, how would you like to take a little trip with me?
Oh, Liblet, sorry. And she's like, well, Polly T and the other rodents are waiting to see if I'll go with them. She feels incredibly torn. She's like, they said that if you can't help me find a home, they could help us find a home. So she's petting her tail.
He says, well, Liblet, I'm more than happy to have them see and try if they can maybe find a home for you, but I'm pretty convinced that I can do a little bit better. And besides, I now have an appointment with some people that I need to talk to anyway about some old debts that need resolution.
Where are you going?
Liblet, I'm going to Philly.
Do you want to ride with Polly T?
Counter offer, Liblet. Would you like to ride with me?
Oh, gosh. Liblet's on the spot.
Tell you what. I'll even let your friend Polly T ride in the car with us.
I could go ask him.
Why don't we go ahead and get my most favorite rod, and then we can go ask them directly.
Okay. She does not read any of the subtext and is pretty convinced that her new good friend Polly T is going to meet her old good friend Rod Rodman, and this sounds really nice in a car ride.
So he finishes closing up his store, and then he pulls a big tarp over it. And he puts a little placard on there. It's weird that he has this placard specifically, and you can't tell what it says. But out of character, it says, temporarily out of business.
She licks it.
It sticks to your tongue.
She tries to discreetly take it off her tongue.
Yeah, you pop it off and put it back up on the display place again.
Probably upside down, but she's hoping that it's right. And I think during this, she would have been kind of giving him a more detailed explanation of everything that had happened, because it's pretty much the most exciting thing in her life. So he would be getting a really good rundown, if very circular.
He's laughing as he listens. He's like, Liblet, that sounds like a fine adventure if ever I heard somebody be on one before. But I think this is going to be an even more exciting adventure if you ask me. Let's go to my place real quick and get my favorite ride.
She scurries along with him and is like, with all my friends together, I don't see how it couldn't be a fun adventure.
He leads you to a big dugout depression near the Chesapeake River. And it's all been paved with irregular slabs of stone that look like they were hand-hauled up to the place. There's a little tiny stone hut with thatch roofing on it that's got a hole just big enough for him to squeeze his body into. And as you go into the hut behind him, he grabs what looks like a massive coat, just the biggest coat you ever did see, Liblet. And as he picks it up, you hear a lot of clattering on the inside of it.
Hey, Rod, do you know what a demon is?
He stops for a moment and then slips one of four arms through one of the arms of the coat. The coat also ironically has four arms on it. As he turns around, you can see that the neckline on the coat sweeps up really high, and it almost makes Rod look like he's got horns on the top of his head. And he's got the biggest smile on his crabby face, and he says, oh, I'm Liblet. I'm pretty sure I do know what a demon is.
That's great, because Polly T said a demon might be able to help me, too.
And as he's talking to you about that, you see him reach down and he picks up just the biggest damn pistols that you've ever seen in your life and starts tucking them on the inside of the coat.
She oohs at them because they're probably about the size of her head. She's like, I've never seen pistols that big before.
Well, Diblett, wait till you see how they shoot.
He motions for you to head out of the hut after he's put all four of the guns on the inside of his jacket. And he leads you down a narrow, muddy path to an area that looks like it used to be an old road that's partially broken away. And you see something under a big gray tarp that's been stashed away there. And as he goes and puts his top set of hands on it and pulls them off, you see the shiniest thing that you've ever seen in your life.
He wants to look at it so badly.
The reddest, shiniest car that you've ever seen in your entire life.
Can I lick it?
Lick away, my little friend. This is Rod Rodman's hot rod.
I love it. She goes over and licks it.
And you can see on the inside, there's one big seat on the driver's side and two little seats on the passenger's side of this car. And he goes and sidles in. He walks very stiffly and clambers into the driver's side of the car. And you can hear him start it up. And it goes,
she probably goes invisible when the engine goes because the van noise was a lot different from this noise.
Yeah, and he slams one of his top hands down on the seat and he says, come on, Liblet, let's go meet your friends.
Liblet scrambles in and hops into the seat. She's like, this is so much fun.
It does not take long at all for you to catch up to the road cartel caravan. In fact, you're moving so fast that you're not sure you've ever moved this quickly before. Rod Rodman even blows right past the security checkpoint, leaving Centrell.
Lilith's never gone this fast.
Yeah. And he all of a sudden twists the wheel and swings it to the side as he moves around part of the caravan and basically cuts them off from where they're headed.
Liblet waves to them from the front seat.
All of them have their jaws to the floor. Every single one of Mr. X even looks shocked and slightly afraid.
Why not paying attention?
Why? Why? It's like, oh, it's Rod. Liblet's gonna pop out of the car, I guess, because it seems like they're at the spot they need to be. I guess she'll wait for him to turn off the car because it's still
he shuts the engine off. And he kind of just, he leans two of his elbows and kind of leans out the window of the car and looks over at them. He's like, hello there, boys. Got a friend of yours here that said you had a letter for me. And I tell you what, I'll take you up on the contents of that letter. Let's go talk to your not a little boy.
Luke just kind of looks between him and Polly T because she doesn't understand what's happening, but she knows something is and she's missing it.
Bly, you smell urine. And Polly T just goes, yeah, yes, sir. All right. Let's get this show on the road then.
Can I have been having him train me in martial arts?
Piero?
Yeah.
Piero says, well, I can teach you a couple of things, but I ain't going to be able to teach you everything I know because it took years of intensive practice to achieve that.
Yeah. Just something to help fight better with my hands.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you a bunch of kicks. You got good kitty legs, so you're going to be good at it.
Okay, I just want to be better hand-to-hand. Teach my family what's up.
I got to ask, was it a lot of the rats peeing in here?
It was a significant enough amount of urine that everybody smells it to some extent. Bly just smells it first.
Oh. He's just like, oh.
Like, rats. Hate rats. Cats wouldn't have peed.
With that, we will go ahead and draw the curtain closed on the first season of After the Bomb, Pursuit of Knowledge.
Liblet's the worst.
She's the best.
She's great, but like she does not get subtext at all.
As their paths branch off from one another, what dangers and excitement lie on the roads ahead for our fearsome foursome? Will Arlo Diggs rescue what's left of his family? What will Dr. Bara Nosy and the academic underground discover in their excavation of the ruins of Lancaster? And just how much trouble will Bly Moons and Liblet Thumblejump get into with the Rodent Cartel and their motley assortment of friends? Find out the answers to some of these questions and more on the next season of After the Bomb, Pursuit of Knowledge. And keep your eyes peeled on this podcast, as well as our social media, for your chance to get a say in whose story we follow next. After the Bomb, Pursuit of Knowledge is a Real Play Games podcast production. After the Bomb RPG and Megaverse are copyrights and registered trademarks owned by Palladium Books and used with permission. You can find the After the Bomb role-playing game and all of Palladium Books' other fantastic RPG products at www.palladiumbooks.com. Additional thanks to Rally of the Forums of the Megaverse for additional concepts, ideas, and inspiration. Our theme song is Uplifting Ballad by the talented Alexander Nakarada and is used under extended license, which includes sync licensing. His wide range of work can be found at www.serpentsoundstudios.com. If you want to get in touch with GM John or the cast, please feel free to reach out to us via email at realplaygamespodcast@gmail.com, chat with us on Twitter at realplaypod, or check out our website at realplaygamespod.com. If you'd like to help support the show outside of listening, please check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod. We appreciate your support.